to left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Aguila. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
All right, welcome to a little bonus post-game edition of Flames Talk on this Friday, November 25th. Yeah, it's Steinberg along with you, coming at you from our Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studio as we continue breaking down a 3-0 loss to the Washington Capitals on this Friday. It's Steinberg along with you. Hopefully you're doing all right, and hopefully your Friday is going along nicely. This is the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. With a smart lock from Calgary Lock and Safe, you can easily manage your locks right from your smartphone. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. In just a second, we're going to hook up with Eric Francis from Sportsnet. Eric's going to join us to not only break down this loss in Washington, but one of the big topics right now is what the heck's going to happen with this forward group, and are they at any point going to recall a forward? That is something that I think a lot of people have their eyes on. Also, Derek Will's going to join us in this bonus hour of Flames Talk as well. So that's all coming your way in the next hour. Calgary wraps up this 6-game road trip on Saturday afternoon when they take on the Carolina Hurricanes. That is a 2 o'clock face-off right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We'll be on the air at 1 o'clock with your Calgary Flames warm-up. It's time to go inside hockey for Calgary Co-op. Calgary's is the only family of products curated for the tastes of Calgarians, and you'll only find them at Calgary Co-op. And we go inside hockey for the next few minutes with our buddy Eric Francis, who joins us right now. Hello, franchise.
How are you, my man?
I'm good. I'm glad you got home safely from the road, and you are back in our humble city. You just got home because the Flames were playing Washington on this Friday. At the same time, the Calgary Wranglers were playing the Abbotsford Canucks. You just got home from that game and also had an opportunity to talk to a few players that all of a sudden people are buzzing about in this market. As the Flames continue to really struggle on the offensive side, Eric, there's a lot of talk about, and even I'm of the opinion that after a 5-1 win for Calgary over Abbotsford, and even before that, I'm of the opinion that, you know, this offense looks like it is a struggle to score, and maybe recalling somebody with a little bit of spark and a little bit of energy might be even temporarily a way to get things going. I'm curious as to where you are on that conversation, especially after talking to guys like Matty Phillips and Jacob Pelche and Connor Zeri on this Friday today.
You know, it's interesting to me. I don't know if certainly it's not the answer to suggest that if you called up one of these guys who are on fire offensively, whether it's Matthew Phillips, Jacob Pelche, Walker Duehr had 2 goals tonight. I've always seen Duehr as the most logical next call-up when you factor in who would, you know, have a say in that decision, i.e. Daryl Sutter. I mean, he likes Walker Duehr's size and speed and moxie, and I know that he's not scored at a clip like Matthew Phillips or Jacob Pelche, but those are the 3 guys I spoke to after the game today, and the coaching staff, and, you know, even the coaching staff saying, you know, I think you got to look at, you know, you certainly got to look at, you know, I asked specifically about Matthew Phillips, and, you know, this guy plays, as Pelche said to me, Phillips scores, you know, a large number of his goals, like 2-3 feet out from the goalie. Like, I think there's because he's only 150, 155 pounds, there's a belief that he's a strict perimeter player and that he couldn't hack it in the NHL. But the type of game he plays, like, he drew a couple penalties today. One of his goals was right in the blue paint, getting dirty. Another time he drew a penalty because he's getting hacked and slashed in the slot. Like, he's not scared to go into the dirty areas. So, anyway, it's a roundabout way of saying, I do think it's a very interesting. I was watching the Flames game. I was at the Dome watching the Flames game on my computer and watching the Wranglers game in front of me. And it's kind of a tale of two cities, right? I mean, the Wranglers are scoring goals by the bushels. I think they've won 9 of their last 10. Pelche's on a 9-game streak. He got a beautiful goal today. Phillips had 3 points today. You know, could a call-up spark something? And I don't know, Pat. I don't really. I don't think I can definitively say, yeah, you could put someone in that top six, because if you called up Pelletier or Phillips, you'd have to put them in your top six, wouldn't you? You don't really want to. You can't bury one of those guys on the third or fourth line. Are they ready?
Well, it depends.
That?
The only thing I'd say about that. The only thing I'd say about that is the good news is if you're quote unquote burying somebody on a third line, your center's going to be Kadri or Backlund. So at the very least, you're going to get to play with a really really good play driving center.
But does a coach trust? It's all about trust in the NHL, right? Especially with Sutter, and it's the reason why he hardly ever plays young players is because he hasn't established that trust yet.
Yep.
Are you going to put a guy on a third line that's basically largely in charge of checking and put a Matthew Phillips or a Jacob Pelche on there with hopes of shutting down the opposition or at the very least, you know, having a stalemate in terms of every time they go on the ice, not operating at a deficit? So I'm not convinced that the answer is a call-up, but I will say that I do believe probably more than I have in many, many years that if they have to go the call-up route due to an injury or if they choose to go the call-up route to try and shake something up to a degree, I do believe that there are some players that are very much more ready to stand up and you know be difference makers as opposed to the past. I guess that's the way I put it. Like I asked Phillips, are you playing the best hockey of your career? He wouldn't go that far, but he certainly said, I understand the pro game very well now and what I need to do to be effective. So I understand fans throwing that out there. People are panicking right now. It's a little early, I think. But I was listening to your call-in show after the game, and there are a lot of different theories out there. But at the end of the day, it's quite simple. They're not scoring enough, and they're not stopping the puck enough. Goaltending's obviously an issue, but up front, I think, is something that I don't think people are talking enough about. This team knew it was not going to score as many goals as last year. I remember you and I talking earlier in the year. I said last year they were third or fourth. I think they were sixth, actually, in goals for last year. And I said, I bet you they would be no better than 15th this year. And I think when I checked early this morning, they were 16th in goals for per game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think they're going to be the rest of the year. And no call-up in this system is going to change that, I can tell you that.
It does seem like it's really difficult for them right now, and they just they have not been able to find really anything that they are willing to stick with long term when it comes to who's playing with who. You know, Huberdeau has struggled to find a fit, and you know who's playing on Lindholm's line. First it was Huberdeau, and then there was the Rozicka story, but you know, Daryl was pretty blunt about Rozicka's game after the game in Washington. So I don't know, man. It's. I just wonder, and I have. I'm with you. Like I'm not necessarily confident that Daryl would be playing a guy in a spot to succeed. But I think it's at the point now where it's like it's at the very least worth a try with how difficult it's been to find any consistent spark offensively. That's kind of even why I'm at the point where I'm like, well, maybe you do think about doing it, especially because you probably have the cap flexibility to do it. But I'm with you. Realistically, am I expecting it? Not really.
No, because, you know, it'd be one thing if the coach said, look, send me up one of these guys. I really want to take a look at these guys. Well, we know how Daryl Sutter feels about young guys, especially undersized guys. So I think it's going to take an injury for them to want to call somebody up. And surely at some point they're going to get an injury or someone's going to be a little nicked up, you know, so that they're going to have to call somebody up. It's a fascinating debate on who you'd call up. And I guess it would depend who's injured and who you need to replace and what you're looking for. But damn it, I'll say this. It's a damn crime that Matthew Phillips hasn't been given much more of a chance at the National Hockey League level. And I've said this many times to people, and I'll continue to say it. I'm not sure he's ever going to get another chance with Daryl Sutter as the coach of the Calgary Flames. I'm really not convinced it's ever going to happen again. And that's got to be awfully hard for him to hear, and he probably deep down fears that that's the case. But he deserves a chance in the National Hockey League. Like, the real shame in it all is he's stuck in this organization. And it's a great organization, don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking the organization. But Matthew Phillips needs to leave at the end of the season and go somewhere else, whether it's Europe or whether it's an organization that's not as deep and could give him a much better chance to get out there and play 20 games in the National Hockey League. Because a one-game sniff doesn't count. And you know, you need to give a guy much more of a sample size than that I'm sorry, but – and I do understand that there are many, many guys that go their whole career that are tweeners. They're phenomenal at the AHL level, but they can't hack it at the NHL level. And maybe that's him. But damn it, I want to get that chance. And it's not just because he's so likable, but it's also because he goes out there and he plays a gritty little game. Like, he's not scared. And I asked him today, like, you look, Pat, he's listed at 5'7", 140 pounds by the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, people think, oh, he's Gaudreau size. No, 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 he's 20 pounds lighter than Gaudreau. Like, you know, so I, and then the Wranglers have him listed at 5'8", 160. I said today, look, give me the goods. Like, tell me what's the truth. It's somewhere in the middle. Anyway, he said, I'm 5'8", and I'm about 155 pounds, depending on the day. Like, as if it matters what he eats that day. But he's undersized. There's no doubt about it. But I'm telling you, I'm dying to see him get a chance in a National Hockey League. I don't know if he can make it, but I want to know the answer. And I want him to know the answer so that he can move on.
And the last thing I'll say before we wrap here, just a little short chat on Eric Francis Fridays. But he's unrestricted at the end of the year. I know you go to cap friendly and it's listed as restricted, but he's not going to play the amount of games in the NHL he needs. He will be a Group 6 UFA at the end of the year. So, like, now's the time if you're the organization to make it happen. So, and I'm not saying like now, but this season, at the very least, I think you owe it. You drafted this guy. It's been a great story. You know, if he goes UFA and doesn't feel like there's a spot here, he probably goes elsewhere. You know, if there's ever a time to do it, it's this season. That's the last thing I would add on to that conversation.
Well, I think so, because, you know, he's, even if they did give him a little bit of a sniff this year, as long if it's not a big enough sample size, then I think, yeah, of course he'll move on. Because surely there are other teams that are looking at him and thinking, maybe we could take a flyer on this guy. You never know. And I think why people beat the drum so heavily for him, A, because he's a Calgarian, and B, I think he's so darn likable. People see him in the media, and he's just, God, you want him to do well so badly. But C, this is the city where Johnny Gaudreau became a superstar. And he's, yes, I said he's significantly smaller than Gaudreau, but still, a small guy came up with immense skill and made it here in this city. So I think that's why people are so hell-bent on just taking a glimpse at him to see if there's any chance he could recreate a tiny fraction of the magic that Johnny Gaudreau had. Totally different players, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying.
No, I get what you're saying.
I think people are so into it, and I'm hoping for him. Again, I don't see it happening anytime soon, but at some point somebody's getting called up, and man, was it impressive to watch those kids play today. The people, get out and watch some Wranglers hockey. The crowd today was humiliating. Like, it was terrible. And that's not a reflection on the organization. I mean, I'm good on them for trying these Fridays. I took my son and a whole bunch of his buddies because none of them had school today. But apparently that's what the crowds look like most nights. It's so sparse, and it's just sad to me. It's great hockey. People, go out and treat yourself and watch some Wranglers hockey.
Great stuff, Franchise. Awesome, man. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you next week. Hey, pal.
Okay, my man. Cheers.
He's Eric Francis. He joins us inside hockey for Calgary Co-op with new product families, member rewards, and sale events. You'll find more quality, more savings in every department every day at Calgary Co-op.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This is the Sports Drive. It's a little bonus hour of Flames Talk on a Friday, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. With a smart lock from Calgary Lock and Safe, you can easily manage your locks right from your smartphone. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. It's Steinberg along with you, Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're breaking down a 3-0 Flames loss to the Capitals, and we're also looking ahead to Saturday's game against Carolina, and lots of overall issues with the Flames as well. It's time for Derek Wills and the Daily Flames Roundtable, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills, home of the Mercedes-Benz AMG GLC 43 with the 4MATIC all-wheel drive system, perfect for winter. Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. CA. Voice of the Flames joins me now following a 3-0 loss Friday afternoon in Washington. And Willsie, we just spoke to Francis earlier this hour, and There's a lot of clamoring for, is it time to go the American League route to see if maybe that can give some sort of spark offensively? Is it time to rejig the lines for a, like, there's a lot of those questions. I understand them all. If it's me, I do think a call to the American League might be something they could do, even if temporarily. But right now, as we talked about on Flames Talk postgame, it is a struggle to score goals and to create offense on this team right now.
Yeah, and they do need a spark. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they've had some games where the offense has gone off, but you look at the first five games of the season-long six-game road trip, and they've scored zero goals in one game and one goal in two games. The other two games were fine, but a happy medium, I guess, would be a good place to start. And you know, maybe they could get a spark calling somebody up from the Calgary Wranglers. And I'm not against going in that direction. I don't think they're going to do it for tomorrow's game against the Hurricanes.
No, me neither.
The Wranglers played in Calgary today. The Flames played in Washington today. So that doesn't make much sense. But, you know, if they happen to lose tomorrow's game and come home below 500 on the road trip, then I wouldn't mind if they gave somebody a shot. But, you know, on the other hand, I would rather the spark came from somebody internally, someone who's already on the roster, someone who hasn't played to their potential this season, because I think it's a lot to ask of whether it's Matthew Phillips or Jacob Peltier or Connor Zeri or somebody else to come in and be the savior, so to speak. I mean, if you've got a team that's playing well and you insert one of those guys, I think you put them in a much better position to succeed. And the team is playing well in stretches, but certainly not consistently right now. Even look at today's game against the Capitals. I quite liked their first period, Pat, and thought they were probably a little bit unlucky to be down by a goal through 20 minutes, but didn't like their second period, didn't like their third period. There were some flashes in the third. I would say more so from the reunited line of Elias Lindholm, Jonathan Huberdeau, and Tyler Toffoli. So I think that's one direction I would definitely go in tomorrow. I would put those three guys together again. I know the chemistry wasn't instant when they were playing together to start the season, but when that was a line, the Flames were 5-1-0 to start. Mm-hmm. And then they lost to the Oilers, and the lines went into a blender and have kind of been all over the place since then. So now that Lindholm's playing better, now that Huberdeau is playing better, I think Toffoli's been as consistent as any forward on the team all season long. I just like to get another longer look at those guys, more than just a period, which is what we saw them together for today. So, yeah, I mean, if they lose tomorrow, I certainly wouldn't be against them calling somebody up from the AHL. Jacob Peltier is on a league-long 9-game point streak, I believe, right now. So yep. Maybe he's moved himself to the top of the list. But, you know, ultimately, I don't think that the team or the fans can hope that one of those guys or more than one of those guys comes in and might be a poor choice of words here, but saves the season. I think you need more from guys who have been with this team since the start of the season. And the good news is there's plenty of players that are capable of doing more than they've done to this point.
Agreed. And I'm not suggesting that a Wranglers recall is going to save the season by any means. It's more just a conversation about they need some sort of spark. And to your point, Derek, yeah, you'd like it to be a spark, whether it's Mangiapane or Dubé or some Huberdeau, whoever. Kadri's game getting back in order. It probably would be better if that spark came internally.
Well, Nazem Kadri is more than capable of sparking this team. We've seen him spark plenty of teams in the past. I think about how good he was when the Avalanche needed him to be as good as he was. When they lost Nathan MacKinnon for a long stretch last season, Kadri stepped up and did an unbelievable job filling the huge skates or shoes of MacKinnon and helping the Avalanche have a great regular season. And he was terrific in the Stanley Cup playoffs, helping them win a championship as well. He is absolutely capable of giving the Flames the spark they need. So is Andrew Mangiapane. And even when he's not scoring goals and producing points, Pat, he is a guy who's been able to spark the Flames with his relentless work and by being in the thick of it. And he just hasn't been that guy on a regular basis this season. I actually think Dylan Dubé's turned a bit of a corner. He's scored in two of the last three games. I actually think that Jonathan Huberdeau has turned a corner. He's making plays again. So there are some guys who individually are trending in the right direction right now, but not enough of them. And everybody can point the finger at Jacob Markstrom, as they've been doing for a good chunk of the season. And I'm not saying he doesn't have to be better. He has to be better. He'd be the first guy to admit it. But tough to win when you score zero goals, right?
Yep. Yep. It's going to be an interesting game on Saturday afternoon in Carolina. That's, you know, we talked on Friday's roundtable about, okay, if you can split, you can make it a pretty decent, you can make it a pretty decent trip for the Flames. Well, they got a win to split. So a big game on Saturday in Carolina, hey?
Absolutely. And if you come home 3-2-1, I think you feel pretty good about the results on the road trip. The process has been hit and miss. There have been some games where the Flames have been really good. And even in those games, if they didn't get the right result, you kind of felt good about the way they played. But there have been some games where they haven't been good, at least not for anywhere close to 60 minutes. And today's game against the Capitals is one of those games. I would say that the last game against the Penguins was one of those games as well, where the Flames were the better of the two teams for one of the three periods. And they were lucky to get a point in that game, thanks in large part to Dan Vladar. And I would say the same thing about today's game against the Capitals. They were the better of the two teams in one of the three periods, and they didn't get any points out of that game. So I suspect we see Dan Vladar in the finale of the season-long six-game road trip. Thought he played his best game of the season, maybe the best game that a Flames goaltender has played this season in that game against the Penguins a couple of nights ago. So if you get a strong goaltending performance from him, and to steal a baseball term, if you give your goaltender some run support and you at least get two or three goals, then I think you give yourself a chance to beat a good Hurricanes team that's coming off of an overtime loss to the Bruins today. So, you know, it's a back-to-back for the Flames, but it's equally as tough a back-to-back for the Hurricanes. So that's a wash. There's no advantage on either side going into tomorrow's game. But the Flames have to play a desperate brand of hockey. And I do wonder if they maybe make some lineup changes. There's not a lot they can do, but, you know, Michael Stone's a guy who joined them on the trip, which tells me that he's getting close to being ready to return. I'm not sure that swapping out your number six defenseman is going to solve all your problems, but, you know, Flames have had a tough time scoring, and Michael Stone is a guy who has helped them create offense this season. I like to call him the secret weapon. Really, it's not all that secret. He's got the hardest shot on the team, and that shot has created a lot of havoc. And when it doesn't go directly into the net, which it has a few times this season, it leads to chaos. And chaos is good when you're trying to create second and third chances that the Flames have had a tough time creating this season. So maybe that will be at least part of the answer to the questions we're asking about this team right now. But there are some guys who are clearly playing extremely frustrated right now. And at the top of that list for me, Pat, is Milan Lucic. He looks like he's ready to kill somebody. And I think about the penalty that he took in the third period today. Milan's a really smart player. When his head is straight, he doesn't take that penalty. It might have taken a scoring chance, might have even taken a goal away from the Flames because Noah Hanifin was in a great position to shoot and score there. So maybe he needs a reset, but That's a dangerous game to play, too. I mean, he's a guy who's won a Stanley Cup. He's very well-respected in that dressing room. If you sit him down and that doesn't go over well with him or with his teammates, then maybe that's not the right thing to do. So, you know what? Daryl Sutter is the reigning Jack Adams Award winner, is the NHL's Coach of the Year. And he's going to have to figure this out with his staff. But ultimately, it's up to the players on the ice. They're the ones that have to go out there and perform. And this might sound like a bad thing, but there are so many guys who have not played to their potential on a regular basis this season. That's bad. But what's good is that we know they can be better. So the Flames aren't in a bad spot right now, thanks to a lot of other teams in the Pacific Division and the Western Conference struggling as well, including the team up north. They're fighting it right now. So you know what? If they can come home 3-2-1 and start a five-game homestand on a high note, then maybe they can get things turned around once they get back to Scotiabank Saddledome next week. But tomorrow's game feels like a pretty important one, doesn't it?
Sure does. It sure does. Okay, Wilsey, see you Saturday.
Okay, see you tomorrow.
Derek Wills wrapping up this bonus hour of Flames Talk, and that's our daily Flames Roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. For the Mercedes-Benz enthusiast, find the perfect present at the Mercedes-Benz boutique online at mercedesbenzcountryhills.ca. This is your Flames Talk bonus hour. How about that? Little, you got a Flames Talk postgame on your feed today, and on this Friday, you also get a little bonus Flames Talk postgame as we're available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's time to wrap things up with your Flames Talk Friday Best Bets brought to you by Bodog.net. Find your next favorite game at Bodog.net. Hashtag make a play. Free play only. 18 plus. Play responsibly. We went 0-1 on this Friday with our best bets. We had the Flames on the money line. They obviously do not go on the money line, so we're now 2-4 on the week. To wrap up the week, not a lot posted for Saturday's game in Carolina, but here's the one that I like. Total set at 6.5. You've got a Carolina team coming off the back-to-back on the road with travel, and just as much travel on the second half of back-to-back and third game in 4 days for the Flames. I'm going over. I just feel like there's going to be some goals on Saturday afternoon in Carolina. I'm going to go over 6.5 for the Flames and Hurricanes on Saturday. We'll see if that one ends up hitting on Monday, but that is your one best bet after we go 0-1 on a Friday. Flames Talk best bets as we wrap up this bonus hour. Thanks to Cam Hughes, our producer. Thanks to Eric and to Derek as well. Eric Francis and Derek Wills as we wrap things up. Flames Talk best bets brought to you by Bodog.net. Find your next favorite game at Bodog.net. Hashtag make a play. Free play only. 18 plus. Play responsibly.